Laura Zahn, Shop Hero. One of the big questions frequently put to me is how can a body make a living as a woodworker? Sure, it's the finest possible pastime known to mammals with opposable thumbs, but how can I have woodworking as my full-time job? Well, I would confidently answer that I have no idea. It's probably a more competitive field with many fewer sources of lucrative remuneration than even showbiz, which everybody knows is one of the most foolish vocations to pursue. Before the Industrial Revolution and Amazon, the human race necessarily depended upon a lot more hand skills to supply their households with life's necessities, clothing, furniture, alcoholic beverages, etc. The vast majority of these men and women were not woodworkers, per se, nor tailors, nor brewers or distillers, yet they still successfully provided themselves and their families with the required implements of daily life, like beer. I then proffer this notion. Let's not, as a people, aspire to become professional makers. Let us instead endeavor to reclaim the honest skills of our forebears. Those of the needle and the hand plane, the stew pot and the still. We can then still hold down the jobs that would make the world go round whilst occupying our leisure time, as Ben Franklin would have it, in the pursuit of self-improvement. If all the butchers, bankers, candlestick makers, brokers, and bloggers would begin to hand-make some useful items in their spare time, I vow that every neighborhood would become much healthier than they now appear. When one of us produces the eggs and dairy products and barters them for a sewing chore, and another bakes the pastries to be swapped for tomatoes and an Offerman woodshop cutting board, we are not only enriched by the material exchange, but by the caring engendered by the codependence. The more we care about our neighbors, the less likely we are to commit violence toward them of any stripe. As Wendell Berry says, it all turns on affection. Many woodworkers, myself included, come to the practice in something of a vacuum. In many cases, those of us who catch the obsessive bug for crafting things from wood have been left to our own devices to find instruction and sources for tools and materials. Of course, the advent of the internet has made all this much easier to accomplish, but even if one gleans a great wealth of information from the online community of makers, woodworking can still be a lonely pursuit. As I have often stated, learning to master any physical discipline will always be much easier to achieve under the in-person guidance of someone who has been down the road before you. Enter Laura Zahn. A redoubtable young lady, born in 1981, who grew up in a military family with its very solid roots in North Dakota farming and lumber work. She hails from dependable traditions of self-sufficiency that make me swell with pride even just having her for a neighbor. Between her parents and their parents, they indoctrinated in her a love of homespun superpowers like mechanical repair, woodworking, needlework, leatherwork, painting, upholstery, you know, homemaking. Because of her dad's itinerant military lifestyle, moving to a new home every couple of years, she felt disconnected from her solid extended family in the Midwest, and so she says, "Working with my hands was my way of keeping that connection. I've been around woodworking and that ethic/mindset/way of life my whole life." Her collegiate accomplishments bespeak the fact that her heart is soundly in the right place. This winning young American got her BA from the College of William and Mary in Human Biology, Health, and Society, then went on to receive an MA from UCLA in Urban Planning with a concentration in Environmental Analysis and Policy, before attending the Woodworking School at College of the Redwoods. When she arrived in Los Angeles, she really wanted to be around other woodworkers in a collaborative environment so she could continue learning and growing. After a year of fruitless searching for such a place, she found our own Offerman Woodshop and rented some bench space. Even though she used the shop mostly at night and on the weekends, she fell in love with the space itself and the quietude it brought to her life. So much so that the face of LA woodworking was about to get a lift. She said, "Being at OWS was dreamy, but I had this idea kicking around in the back of my head to be able to offer to other furniture makers what I was looking for when I first moved back to LA. Bench space, access to machines, and a community of like-minded people. I saw a space I liked on Craigslist, I visited it, and soon after, I was handing over a large wad of cash for a security deposit and first month's rent. I took out a very small business loan and got two credit cards that didn't have interest for 18 months to finance the operation. I was working a full-time job, and Allied Wood Shop was born on a very limited budget with the time that I had to work on it, early mornings, evenings, and on the weekends." The 3,000-square-foot space she secured was on the 10th floor of a building from the 1920s in downtown Los Angeles, called the Allied Crafts Building. A real go-getter by the name of Florence Kassler had built it, and several others like it, at a time when such an accomplishment by a woman was unthinkable in America. She was an innovator of vertical manufacturing, in which all the processes of any given industry, like printing, would be housed on different floors of the same building. She said, "Why, Los Angeles is to be a big city, and we've got to have space for our industries to grow." Florence Kassler was forward-thinking and dauntless, just like our Miss Zahn.